KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Noe Valley, San Francisco.
DuBose Triangle, Lower Haven.
Visitation Valley.
Downtown San Francisco.
Coming up, it's the first week of the school year in San Francisco. We'll hear how a former actor is bringing mindfulness practice to kids in the Bayview.
They can go, uh-oh, my shoulders are up, my face is getting hot, I'm going to take a deep breath so I can be a little bit more skillful with this anger.
Then in our new series, It Takes a School, we'll introduce you to a security guard in the Mission who's been the heart and soul of his campus for more than three decades.
I love the Mission. I love those kids in the Mission. Something about that school, it keeps me going. I tell the kids every day, it's their blessing to me. They always say, thanks to me. I say, no, thank you.
We're celebrating people making a difference in our schools today on Cross Currents. In classrooms across the country, kids are learning to pay attention to the present moment, to focus on their breathing, notice if they're bored or angry, and consider what that feels like in their bodies. The practice is called mindfulness, and it's pretty popular these days. It's used in healthcare, corporate offices, prisons, and in public education, it's part of a larger philosophy. Teaching students to be conscious of their emotions is key to learning. KALW education reporter Lee Romney joins one master of mindfulness at a San Francisco elementary school.
Sit up nice and tall. Good. Let's do some Spider-Man breaths together.
Mr. Andrew just finished taking attendance in this first grade class at Bret Hart Elementary School. And just about all the kids are mesmerized.
Our puppy minds like to do everything fast.
Andrew Nance founded Mindful Arts San Francisco, and through that nonprofit, he and about 18 other volunteers are bringing mindfulness to more than 1,000 kids all over the city.
Now let's switch to breathing ball breathing. Jaden, stay with me.
This morning, one of the kids is kicking his chair. Mr. Andrew doesn't tell him to stop. Instead, he asks the boy to notice what's going on inside him.
Jaden, how are you feeling? Are you feeling frustrated today or good? Good. Okay.
He moves on, but keeps Jaden close as his helper.
All right, so I thought I would read you Puppy Mind today. You remember this from last year?
Yes.
Mr. Andrew's tall with a warm blue-eyed gaze. He carries two things into class with him, a stuffed puppy and a book he wrote called Puppy Mind. It translates the value of being in the present moment into kid speak.
And what do you think the boy was doing before the puppy showed up?
The puppy mind is the wandering mind. Mr. Andrew wants the kids to know that if they can learn to be aware of their puppy minds, they'll be able to make better choices, just like the little boy in the book.
When my puppy mind is bored, it runs to the future and the past. Whoosh! And guess where he is? He's in the past.
For nearly 20 years, Mr. Andrew directed San Francisco's new Conservatory Theater Center, working with a lot of kids. But 6 years ago, he decided he was ready for a change. During a mindfulness class, the instructor introduced some theater games.
That's when the light bulb went off. Mindfulness training and theater training are so similar. It asks you to be in the present moment. It asks you to use your breath to get focused. It asks you to connect with the other person in front of you.
Okay, let's keep going.
So he signed up for an online course, and right away he was volunteering with two pre-kindergarten classes. But when he searched for books for little kids, he says, he couldn't find any that he liked. That's when Puppy Mind was born.
My puppy mind can dig up memories, like when I got yelled at for not sharing my things. What's he feeling? What's our boy feeling?
Crying.
What's the emotion? I heard crying.
Sad.
Mr. Andrew developed a curriculum using storytelling, theater, and art projects for all elementary levels. 4 years ago, he started visiting Bret Hart Elementary in the city's Hunters Point District. Today, Principal Jeremy Holinsky has welcomed him into every classroom. Holinsky says mindfulness has turned out to be a great tool for kids whose families cope with a lot of stressors.
Parents who, frankly, we know are working multiple jobs and trying to make ends meet and sometimes struggling. We've had gunshots fired. We've had families impacted by violence.
Gun violence, either in the neighborhood or directly affecting a student, happens 5 or 6 times a year, he says. That kind of ongoing stress can impact a child's brain, make it hard to concentrate or settle down. And kids here have plenty of meltdowns.
I don't feel like depending on the parents to manage self-regulation is the way to go. Like, we have the kids essentially more than they do. It just doesn't work. Like, we need to figure out solutions that work here, and we need to be creative about it.
Enter Mr. Andrew. He spends just 20 minutes a week in each class, but Holinsky says...
The kids are now older and are using it, and not surprisingly have far fewer issues in self-regulation.
That's right. Well, let's go to someone else.
Mindfulness is rooted in Zen Buddhism, but in the 1970s, Jon Kabat-Zinn adapted it for clinical use to treat adults with chronic pain. His technique... mindfulness-based stress reduction led to a mindfulness explosion in other settings. The main goals are to increase self-awareness, concentration, and well-being, and reduce anxiety, including in the classroom.
I try to listen to the teacher, but my puppy mind starts to stir.
But there are some concerns. This work doesn't require a credential, and classroom activities referred to as mindfulness-based are all over the map. Most importantly, psychologists warn that practitioners need to be careful with students who suffered recent trauma. Their defense systems are in place for a reason. Being forced to sit with their feelings could be harmful. Mr. Andrew agrees. He never insists that kids close their eyes or do anything.
Mindfulness is always an invitation. Often in trauma-informed practices, you can just invite a student to look for the most pleasant thing in the room as a way to be focused and in the moment.
He says he never judges a child's reaction either, because mindfulness is a noticing practice, not a calming practice.
Do you feel like your heart is open or closed when you're angry? Do you feel warm or cold when you're angry?
The goal is for kids to match the sensations to the blooming emotion.
They can go, uh-oh, my shoulders are up, my face is getting hot, I'm gonna take a deep breath, so I can be a little bit more skillful with this anger. Not to get rid of it, not to say it's not valid, but not let it run the show. You get to run the show, not anger.
Where would your puppy mind take you, Jaden?
To the dirt bike store.
Perfect. Where would your puppy mind take you?
Even advocates for mindfulness in schools agree the enthusiasm has moved faster than the research. But one study of Oakland students showed that kids in the mindfulness group were better able to pay attention, participate in class, and show consideration to others. A more recent clinical trial of high-risk youth in Baltimore found that mindfulness improved post-traumatic stress symptoms, and none of the students in the mindfulness group showed negative effects.
The puppy mind is strong, but you guys are stronger.
They're kids, you know. They're not supposed to be perfect. And who wants to be perfect? But they do need skills. And telling a kid to calm down is not a skill. And it's also punitive. Like, I'm watching you, so calm down or I will get upset. You know, who are you if no one's watching?
That's the skill that he wants to teach these kids, how to be kind to themselves and others when no one's watching.
And what's our puppy doing now?
He's sleeping.
In San Francisco, I'm Lee Romney for Cross Currents.
They're both sleeping and they're both basement.
That's right, exactly.
Lee is KALW's education reporter. Connect with her at education@kalw.org. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Ben Trefney, in for Hannah Baba. With students back in classrooms here in San Francisco, we're launching a series called It Takes a School. Today and all through next week, we'll profile some of the district's longtime unsung heroes. In our first installment, we'll head to Buena Vista Horace Mann, a Mission District school serving kindergartners through eighth graders. For more than 30 years, longtime security guard Zach Rollins has greeted students every morning. His impact has gone beyond keeping the campus safe. He runs recreation programs and mentors generations of kids. But he starts off each day with a routine of catching the bus.
One guy is bus driver is slow. He's my friend. He likes to talk too much. He's a cool guy, but he likes to talk. So he takes his time and talks to you. And I'm like, I'm gonna get to work. And it's another teacher that catches the bus. She'd be looking like, everybody. Be like, good morning. How you doing? All right, yourself? Have a good day.
Here we go on the 30th mission.
I love the mission. I love those kids in the mission. Something about that school, it keeps me going. Yeah, and that's why, I tell the kids every day, it's their blessing to me. They always say, thanks to me. I say, no, thank you, because they mean a lot to me.
When are opening?
Yes, this is the journey.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm good,
I'm here, ready to rock and roll. New custodian. This is where I meet all the kids. The ones that come through this gate, I get a chance to have a good one, to talk to them and learn about them, and they learn about me and high fives. And it's like my morning coffee right here at this gate. That's what it means to me. Ah, you forgot your scooter yesterday, huh? I was gonna ride it home. It's right there, okay? You forgot it. Don't worry, today you can take it home, okay?
Okay.
He's the first person that students and adults see in the morning.
Urbano! Woo! How you doing? You all right? Tired?
Urbano.
He's ready to go.
My name is Claudia Delarios Moran. I'm the principal of Buena Vista Horace Mann School. He knows something about every child on campus. He knows them personally, and he lets them know that they have a special thing going.
She thinks Kobe the greatest player ever. I told her Michael's the greatest player, right? Jordan?
Yes.
Jordan is the greatest player?
Yes.
That's right.
He'd always go right next to the gate, and he'd have all the cart with his scooters, and he'd just like talk about random stuff.
Hey, Nez, you hear that, Nez? Nez, these are Jordan fans. They say no Kobe. The kids call me old man, and I love it, because I am quite older, you know, but it's especially when you know the parents, and they respect it. How you doing? Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Hey, buddy.
Have a good one.
Adios.
Adios.
Thank you, Dad.
No worries. You're welcome. This is awesome. It's a great feeling every day to see this. Let's go, guys. It's seminar. Let's go. Guys, let's go. Marcelo, hold the football. Let's go. Let's go, guys. Let's go. It's time.
It would be really chaotic without Zach here.
Guys, you got the skateboard, let's go, it's time. Hold the ball, please. Fourth grade.
Like to hear his voice, it's just kind of like, you could hear it sometimes from the classrooms as well because his voice is so loud.
Fourth grade, line up.
It's just really nice to like know he's there.
Let's go, young man, it's time, you're fourth grade, right? Go line up, the teacher's waiting on you. Everyone sign in?
Yeah.
Everyone sign in? Young man, you sign in? Oh. So I always had like this workout room. For some years I had a workout room. So one day I said, how about I just, you know, teach the kids how to work out? And they said, well, okay, yeah, teach a seminar. And at first it just was after school. Kids would come in the morning and after school and work out with me. Then I opened at lunchtime, they want to work out. Oh, not too hard, baby. Oh yeah, other side, other hand, all day. Come on, bring it. All day. I see a lot of confidence building, you know, situations here. I see kids that didn't want to work out. Now they get excited and the confidence, it's a booster.
Next champion of the world right there. That guy's strong. Nice work.
All I tell them is their room, not my room. I just open it for you. It's your room. You come in when you feel like working out. If I'm here, you're more than free to come work out. And that's special to kids, to know they're not going to be charged, they're not going to be judged, what you can and can't do. You'll be taught, and you just have fun, and then learn and enjoy.
Yes. So I don't want you to go all the way down. Go up. Better. That's the easy way out. We don't take the easy way out here. Let's go. Give me two more. Nice. work. It'll work.
He has everyone's picture on the wall. He keeps everyone's picture on the wall. He has her picture up on the wall too. Yeah.
This right here is like therapeutic for me. Days when I'm not feeling good, days when I'm down, I look at these pictures and I think of each one of these kids, the stories behind these kids, and it means a lot to me to reflect, reflection, and also just to remember them. It means a lot to, it can put a smile on my face. That's what I tell you, puts a smile on my face. So, there's me back in 85. Look at me, you guys didn't even recognize this picture, huh? That's me in 85. I guess you guys didn't know I could have hair on some of the pictures, right?
That's you?
That's me.
That don't look like
me. What you mean don't look like me, because I don't have hair?
No, you look younger.
Of course. I've been here for 30 years, I'm old. Yes, that's me too. So why aren't your pictures on the wall? You gotta bring me one. You guys, I know that, again, the impact you guys have on my life. I know some days I'm very hard on you, but it's for a reason. It's for a reason I'm hard on you, because I wanna see you guys succeed. And that's all I care about is your guys, the way you guys' life turn out after you leave here. Because once you leave here, I don't see you every day and I don't have the same control over your lives every day that I have here. It's important to me that you guys end up on this wall, not that wall over there with the kids that didn't pass too soon. I have a special wall for the ones that then went to the next life, and that's special for me too, to reflect on their stories in life. It's a burden that I carry daily. The kids that are gone, the kids that passed on, the ones that are locked up, because you want to support them and you do your best, but every kid is not going to make it in life. Everyone's not going to make it in life, but you do your best. And when you lose one, that one is like losing many. I don't want to see them lost, but I lose them every year, and it's hard. I can say that the death of Rashawn Williams, that's part of my life now, and that's something that never goes away. He was a former student here. A few months after he graduated from here, he was murdered. The crushing blow I felt of losing that child, it's like I lost a part of myself when he passed. I felt like I didn't do enough, and I tried to do all I could, but I just feel like somewhere along the line I failed that child, and he's no longer here, and it crushes me every day. Every day. It's not a day go by I don't think about him. I have his pictures on my school wall, pictures of my home. And it's hard to get through some days. But then I look at his picture and say, he's with God. And that's how I work through it, and only wish the best for his family now. I think it's kinder through third come outside like for their break. So I get to play on the yard for a little bit. I bring in all the equipment so they can play, some jump ropes, some tether balls, a tug of war rope, and a parachute. You ready to jump some rope, Eliza? Let's jump some rope, Eliza. You ready?
Yeah.
Let's go, it's showtime.
He's really amazing. He knows a lot of sports, he plays with people.
Good job.
Ready? He looks out for me all the time, and it really made me happy that I wasn't alone.
Oh, can I see? What's his name, huh? Oh, okay. Sorry.
He works with every single grade level of students. He's got 5-year-olds and 13-year-olds around him all the time, and everybody wants to be with him as much as possible.
Playing one-on-one right now. Hey, Daniel, anybody? You beat him, I'll buy you lunch. Any of y'all beat my man, I'll buy you lunch.
They expect me, and when, even the days I'm not feeling well, I have to come out and I have to do it. I have to do it, because like, you cannot let them down. And I tell you something, if you make a promise to little ones, or any child for that matter, you better own it. You better come through for them, because they don't forget.
2-0, 6-2, home run time. Boom, whoa, fireball. Excuse me.
Attention for all the students to take the after school bus.
Having the generations of families here is very important, because you get like to reconnect with them after so many years. They either have a kid here or a brother or sister here, and you can reconnect.
Look at this guy. What's up, man? You know my boy Felipe, huh? Felipe that work here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about you the other day. How you doing?
A young homie.
Yeah, you doing all right?
Yeah.
Good. Nice to see you. Wow. They become like family to you, and it's hard for me. I do have one issue, and it's like abandonment, and it's hard for me to see people just like leave me. And it's same with the students, the ones that graduate. It's hard for me, but I do my best to support them and love them while they're here. And, yeah.
What's going on? How you doing? Nice to see you.
He's just, he's the spirit of the school. And he's our history. He's our history and our present, which is really a gift to have.
Bye, see you tomorrow.
See you, Zach.
That was the first in the series, It Takes a School, reported and produced by KALW's Beau Walsh. Tune into Cross Currents every day next week to hear more stories about the everyday superheroes of the SFUSD. And you can make sure to catch every one by subscribing to the Cross Currents weekly newsletter. Head on over to KALW.org and click Cross Currents to sign up. And catch Cross Currents next Monday at 5. We'll meet a longtime Bayview Hunters Point resident who spent the last quarter century contributing to her neighborhood school.
This school and its environment is instilled in my soul, my mind, and my heart. This and my church. This is all I do.
Our new series, It Takes a School, continues Monday at 5 on Cross Currents. Now, let's listen to a local musician who'll be playing live this weekend in the Bay. This is Jennifer Johns from Oakland. She's performing at the New Parish in her hometown this Saturday night. Today's Cross Currents team includes Taylor Caldwell, Janae Darden, Ariella Markowitz, Kristen McCandless, Truk Nguyen, Michael Locke Swingen, and Eli Wertschafter. Our engineers are James Rollins, Tarek Foda, and Gabe Graben. Content manager is Shireen Adel. Deputy news director is Angela Johnston. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. And as a final note, this first week of school for San Francisco students, we're going to share with you a My Mixtape about being a teenager. Thanks for listening. I'm Ben Trefney.
You are listening to KALW's My Mixtape.
The Mixtape, a compilation of specifically arranged songs.
1, 7, 2.
My name is Meg. I'm from Indianapolis, Indiana, and my favorite song is Anthems for a 17-Year-Old Girl by Broken Social Scene.
Used to be one of the rotten ones, and you liked it for that.
It's a beautiful song, melodically, first of all. The lyrics are just so heartbreakingly real for an adolescent.
Now you're all gone, got your makeup on, and you're not coming back, can't you come back?
Now you're all gone, got your makeup on, and you're never coming back. For me, that really relates to just anything, that feeling of a time that it's talking about in my life that's gone, a relationship of any kind that was and is now no longer there. The best way I can think of to describe it is it's a word that exists in Brazilian Portuguese called saudade. It's nostalgia for a specific moment in time, I guess, and kind of a longing. Like, it's, you're happy that it happened, but at the same time a sadness that you'll never experience that again.